Gonna have to start over.
Yeah, we're gonna start over.
Thank you, Andrew.
I'm just gonna start the song again.
Dude, twice in a row, really? Come on. Sorry.
Well, at least I recognized my problem early enough. You're all right, here's the song. Hold on.
Fight your mouth, blood.
This is the greatest and best song in the world. Tribute.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast, Episode 8. I'm Andrew.
I hope that I'm Douglas.
This is Damien.
And tonight we have Dave from Screen Geeks with us. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're fine.
Sure you are.
Yeah.
Okay, so
so anyone who didn't get the joke, that was tribute by Tenacious D, and the whole thing was episode 5. Dave, you were on with us talking about Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
What? I vaguely remember that. Yes.
Douglas is giving me a look like he doesn't know what the hell we're talking about.
Sorry, no, I just heard some static, but I wasn't sure what that was about. Anyway, let's
And as far as we can tell, that was the greatest episode we've ever made.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
It was the best one I've ever done, period.
Due to recording problems, it was never released.
By recording problems, we mean Andrew.
No, actually, I think, was it some sort of copyright infringement takedown? I think we probably got in problems with saying certain things about Scarlett Johansson.
Whoa.
That was not me, I'm just saying.
Dave had nothing to do with it. I think.
Maybe. But you'll never know.
Okay, anyways, this is episode 8, and today we'll be talking about Spike Lee.
Do we have to?
Please don't make me.
Can we talk about something?
Oh, man. It was what the readers wanted.
What?
Yeah, all four of them.
All right, what happens is...
Four. I think there were four people that voted for Spike Lee. And three people voted for Terry Gilliam. Damn it, if I knew, I would have voted.
No, you're not allowed to vote.
My IP address is.
Basically, the idea is that for the podcast, every four episodes, what we do is we give you the option to vote for which filmmaker or actor or whatever, whoever we nominate that we want to talk about on the fourth episode coming sequentially. So in the fourth episode, we spoke about David Fincher. Today we'll be talking about Spike Lee, and also.
So can we do write-ins for Uwe Boll?
No,
we can.
No.
No, there are no write-ins allowed. Mm-hmm. We nominate. I put up a poll on the website for a week, and you guys can.
You
vote.
Know what, Dave? I'll nominate Uwe Boll. Just for you.
And I will.
And.
Son of a bitch.
So yeah, we'll be talking about Spike Lee as well as reviewing his newest film, Miracle at Saint Anna, which recently got a DVD release. And the format of the show, usually we start with the open discussion, then we move to news trailers, and then the feature review. However, since the feature review is basically a part of our Spike Lee discussion, what I'm going to do this week is we're going to do news, trailers, and then we'll go into Spike Lee discussion and then more into Miracle at Saint Anna at the end of that. All right. So, okay. Let's start off with news.
We need some music to introduce the news.
Yeah, I think so. maybe we can just hum something like dun 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 dun. Dun. Yeah. Okay.
Whoa. Right, with the news. Not much went on this week, but anyways.
Lies.
Apparently, the final of the trilogy, which I hope is the final, for the Meet the Parents trilogy is. Being
wait,
fast
hang on,
tracked.
Hang on. Are you sure it's the final of the trilogy? I mean, seeing as a trilogy generally means three movies, and
unless you read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
But if there is going to be a third, I would hope that that would be the final for the trilogy, right?
Thank you for correcting my choice of words.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Right. So, Little Fockers, the third film in the Fockers trilogy is being fast-tracked. Like, Do you guys have any want to see another movie of this series?
I like the first one. The second one, not so much. I don't know. I mean, it's okay. They've greenlit worse movies. All right, so I mean, we can hope for the best. Maybe it's funny.
Yeah. I thought the first one was great. The second one was okay, like Damon said. And so, bring it on. Whatever. I'll watch it.
What do you say, Dave?
I have about as much interest in seeing this as Jay Roach had in directing it since he jumped ship. This is my problem with Ben Stiller, is that he's always the guy who's awkward doing stupid things, and I'm kind of done seeing that part of him. So I'll probably end up skipping it.
Well, I have to say, I kind of like the two movies, so I will go to the third. I like Robert De Niro being Robert De Niro in that film, being his awkward funny in that movie, and Ben Stiller, even though I don't like most of his movies, that was a decent film.
Okay, so I guess 3-1, we defeat you, Dave.
Oh. That's okay, I have a feeling we're going to be unified here near the end of the show.
Well, I think so.
Okay.
However, Scott has just, messaged me over this Twitter thing.
Scott from Movie Geeks?
Yes, from Movie Geeks. And his question to me is, how could I really enjoy the movie as if, to say to me that I should have enjoyed the movie we're going to talk about later? So, it seems that we might be, maybe not the minority, but we're not the...
It's not unanimous.
Yeah, it's not unanimous. Thank you. My head is all over the place tonight. So, Andrew, what are we talking about in the news today? We talked about Little Fuckers. I believe I saw a sneak peek of something to do with Arnold Schwarzenegger and a movie he was in. Is that the next thing we're going to talk about?
Yeah, apparently Arnold Schwarzenegger, who we all know, he's in California now enjoying his time. He has been cast, along with Danny Trejo, in the Expendables film, the new Stallone movie. What do you think about this, Dave? Like, Schwarzenegger coming back to film like this? Dave?
He has no comment.
Are you there, Dave? He's run away. The call is still there.
Okay, well, I guess I'll say that I don't really care. What?
Bueller.
Whoa.
Andrew is still messing around with his volumes, and all right, we cut Dave off, and for that, sir, I apologize.
Wait! I heard something before this. Oh no, we've sorted out all the other problems.
Yes, oh. I heard that one too.
Okay, so yeah, what do you think of that news item, Dave?
Feel another lost podcast coming.
Have you heard that this is kind of in limbo right now?
Really? Let us know. What's that about?
With the gigantic financial issues that California is having right now, we'll just say the electorate has not been that keen on Arnie going off to do another movie. So he's it's kind of up in the air as to if he's going to do it or not. I don't know if it's going to affect things or not. Would it be fun to see all the old school action guys do it again? Absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I thought that would be fun, but at the same time, I saw in the article that it said basically Schwarzenegger wasn't going to play, a big bad guy. He was going to play himself as governor who had a history with Stallone's character, right?
I like Schwarzenegger in his 2-second cameo in The Rundown, so, I'm kind of a sucker for him a bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to see the old guys come back. We got a taste of that with Forbidden Kingdom. We thought, Jet Li and Jackie Chan.
No.
At 900 years old, would still be able to.
I figured you're gonna go to Wild Hogs on that one.
Yeah, can't be done.
I don't think Forbidden Kingdom with Jackie Chan and Jet Li should really count as like the old guys.
Jet Li's been doing movies from the '70s. You are the old guy. Of course, he's old. But I mean, Schwarzenegger at this point. He didn't have talent before. All people liked was the fact that he was this big muscle-bound guy that tore things to shreds.
And then he only said the one line in Terminator.
He doesn't have that anymore.
Steven Seagal's still making movies.
Yeah, he is. Didn't he just make a straight to DVD zombie movie a while ago?
I'm sure he did.
Whoa.
What are you doing, Andrew? I thought you had us all set up.
Yeah, we're fine.
You're fine right after, you know, you jump all the way across the room to change some sort of setting.
It was between us, you know, whatever. It's because you guys are, like, sharing the mic and you're so far away, my volume is lower than yours, so I'm just changing mine lower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, the next piece of news, which I think we should all, like, kill someone if they ever do this. Uwe Boll is apparently asking people for money for his next film. Like, it seems a studio won't fund it, so he's asking for his quote-unquote fans to fund the film.
Well, I've got a few bucks I can put into that thing. Like, he is a fucking genius, isn't he?
My question is, how many fans do you think Uwe Boll has?
A lot.
You'd be surprised, actually, Andrew. There's a reason
he
makes movies.
With, like, whatever it was, like 18 million or whatever he needs to come up with.
Yeah.
There's people that love terrible movies. There's nothing we can do about that.
Oh yeah, Paul Blart made 100, sorry.
Oh.
Dang.
Or at least it was 90 last I checked. 97, and The Weeknd made 2 or something. So I just assumed it made 100.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
It's no Uwe Boll movie.
You know what, though? That movie was bad enough to break up one of Andrew's closest friendships. So, yes.
What are you talking about? Oh, okay.
You're dead to a certain person.
Oh, yeah. Let's leave that out of it. Right. We're getting through this news quickly, guys.
You know, last time we got through, like, the quickest show you've ever done, so I don't know if that reflects on me or...
We want you out of here.
But it was the greatest episode ever. Like, what do you think of Uwe Boll's films, like, in general? Was there anyone that you thought at any point it could have been okay at best? Like, I mean, I remember last year I watched Postal, and it wasn't that bad. In comparison to his
other stuff.
That
was going to be my Exhibit A. It's the best movie he's done by far. Doesn't mean it's a good movie, but it's the best one he's done. And the first half hour or so of Alone in the Dark was really good until the SWAT team crashed through the glass ceiling and then Tara Reid tried to act. Beyond that, it was great.
I actually haven't seen Alone in the Dark, but sure.
No.
Is that the one with Christian Slater?
Yes.
Oh, I've seen that on TV, but
and
I haven't quite watched
Tara Reid playing an archaeologist.
They nice. Weren't alone, and when the SWAT team came in, it wasn't dark anymore. The movie terrible. Uwe Boll is devoid of talent. There's just no other way to put it. He's terrible, and he keeps getting funding to make these shitty movies, and now he can't, and so he's begging and. Please don't give him any money. If anybody out there is even thinking about giving him money, just light it on fire. You'll have a better time.
And do you remember last year when it was coming out, the online petition to make him stop making movies? Yeah. And he brought out that video where he called out, was it Michael Bay?
Yeah. Yes.
And asked him for a boxing match. Like, this guy is just insane. But at the same time, he keeps getting publicity.
Okay, I'm going to differ with you here. He's not insane. He's just willing to do whatever he has to do to publicize his film. I actually saw an interview, oh goodness, I want to say it was last year over at Loading Ready Run with Uwe Boll. And if you haven't seen it, I'll shoot you the link. It actually changed my mind about the guy a little bit. Still not, you know, a talented filmmaker, quote unquote, but respect the guy a little bit more.
Okay,
which just lost me all kinds of cred forever.
Yeah, definitely shoot me the link. I haven't heard of that before. Anyways, moving on to the next piece of news. Zhao Wei to play Mulan in the live-action film. Like, what do you think of seeing Mulan live-action?
That's what he thinks.
I couldn't care less.
Oh, wait, what was that then?
No, someone's messaging me on Skype.
I heard one of those Skype sounds, and I thought you hung up.
No. No.
Like, this podcast is over.
Like, honestly, I remember when Mulan came out, and I love that movie, especially with Eddie Murphy as a dragon and all. That was great. I mean...
It's because you're a child and silly.
That's true. I haven't watched it since it came out, and I was young, but isn't that the point of the movie, for the youngsters to enjoy it?
then you're asking the wrong set of people if what they think about this movie. It's clearly not targeted to us.
I think Mulan came out around the time when Disney was definitely gearing directly towards kids more than anything else, as opposed to things like Pixar's done, where it's trying to appeal to parents as well, so that, you know, when it comes out, the parents aren't ready to scratch their eyes out by the time the third viewing comes around at home.
Yeah, yeah, I probably agree with you on that one.
Okay.
I remember not liking it when I saw it, but that's just me.
Alright, one last piece of news that I saw this week. Steven Spielberg's Lincoln film is in financial trouble. I mean, everyone's talking about the credit crunch and the crisis, but, like, do you have any hopes of A, this movie being made, and B, of it being good, with Steven Spielberg's bad rep that he's getting from fanboys now after the debacle that was Indy 4?
That's just one movie, Andrew. Steven Spielberg is probably one of the best directors around, no, at least.
War of the Worlds.
Actually, like that movie. Is that okay?
It's going to be okay. It's not your fault.
No, but he does good movies. I mean, look at Munich. What?
He can do good movies.
I had to stay awake in order to see Munich, though.
What?
Hold on.
To be fully up front, I hate Spielberg.
What? Okay, all right, hold on. We're going to have to get into this one now. Please explain.
Pardon?
Please explain that statement.
Absolutely. Pull up his IMDb page so I can be very clear about
it. Oh, boy. You're going to do a rundown. Andrew, pull up the IMDb page. Come on. IMDb, whatever.
If I could spell Spielberg right, that'd be even better yet. It's been a long day, sorry. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not saying that Spielberg has never had talent. There's no doubt about it that the man has a touch. I just think he's dropped off incredibly. Let's see here now. The movie of his last, let's say his last 8 movies, 7, whatever, last 6, since Indiana Jones through AI. Couldn't stand Indiana Jones: The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Everyone's talked about this. We don't really need to.
That's a given.
When it comes to Munich, I thought that it was cold, it was ugly, there was nothing to like, there was no one to attach to. I just could not find myself liking that movie at all.
I'm allowing you to finish before we retort.
Fair enough. War of the Worlds, I couldn't wait for Tom Cruise to die. I was rooting for him to die through the entire movie. He was an arrogant, ignorant ass who had no business trying to be the savior of the world. Very simple. The Terminal... Good God, Tom Hanks, could you not do better than a vapid, clueless, self-involved stewardess? Really? Just saying. Catch Me If You Can is the huge exception here. I love Catch Me If You Can. It's my favorite movie that's done in probably 8 years or so. Minority Report bored me, and AI... My wife won't forgive me to this day for taking her to see AI in the theater.
I remember watching that movie and thinking the only good part about this thing is the talking teddy bear. And that's,
you know, I saw it as a bastardized Kubrick film. That's what it really was.
Well, I mean, he's made it very clear when it comes to AI that he did it because of Kubrick. Like, it was Kubrick's vision, and because Kubrick died and he apparently was good friends with him, he decided to make AI, which... in his memory.
And Kubrick will never forgive him for it. That movie's awful.
Well, to be fair, my cohort Barry over at Screen Geeks, he really enjoys AI, you know, warts and all. This is just something we've agreed to disagree about.
All right.
No, yeah, it's garbage.
To go before that, now, just to finish,
okay.
I love Saving Private Ryan. Amistad is the reason why I wanted to see him make a Lincoln movie, because he can do it, he can bring the personality. I think he's still got that in him. The Lost World Jurassic Park, I think we can all agree, pretty much sucked. And I liked Schindler's List. I love Jurassic Park. I'm one of the few people who liked Hook.
Hey,
so,
yeah,
you know, it's a very fine demarcation line where I'd quit liking Spielberg.
Okay, all right. Now, dealing with the first half, the last 8 years, right? So the last 8 years, the movies he's made is Indy 4, shit, Munich, awesome.
No.
I thought Munich was awesome.
I know.
That's
wrong.
2-2 there. We're drawn in the middle there. I love that.
War of the Worlds, I hated.
No shit.
It wasn't bad,
no, no,
guys.
No, it was that bad. No,
dude,
Eric,
I have family who worked on War of the Worlds, and I still hate that movie.
Hold on.
That movie all the way, 100% terrible.
The Terminal, I liked it, even though I can see it's not his best, and Tom Hanks was fun in it. I mean, it was
new.
A good movie. I love Catch Me If You Can.
Fine.
Minority Report, I think I like, but I don't really remember what I like about it, so I'm gonna leave that one out of it.
It was kind of lame-ish.
And AI was crap.
No, AI was not crap. AI has taken that, and I mean, AI is now the new barometer for what terrible movies are.
No, Indy 4 is...
No. Listen to me. I hate AI more than any other movie that I've ever seen. That is by far my most hated movie. I hate that. That's the worst movie that I've ever seen. Ever. There's nothing redeemable about that movie. I cannot believe I spent money to see that movie. The movie is so bad.
No,
I
saw that one on HBO.
No,
so.
What was he thinking when he made that movie? What on earth happened to that movie? Now, honestly, please tell me what that movie was about. Somebody, please.
Alright, here's an interesting thought, right? As we said, we're talking AI, as I said, was Kubrick's vision that he was making for Kubrick. Indy 4 was George Lucas's vision, which he gave up the fight and just allowed himself to make George Lucas's bastard movie, right? So, I don't know, looking down the list, if there's anything else that he made which was bad that was based off of someone else's vision. But
War
can we just say that if... Well, that was based off a book. I think he had everything creatively when it came to the movie, what to do and what not to do. So it was just his stupid idea to do the movie, right? But when it comes to films that he is, like, pushed by another force, pushed by another person to do it in a certain manner or a certain way, it becomes shit because his style isn't the only thing that makes the movie good.
What about when he screws up his own movie by his own choice?
You mean like 1941?
Actually, I was thinking about the E.T. remake when he took out all the guns and gave everybody walkie-talkies.
Genius.
I'm scared my kids are going to pick up a gun and shoot someone because it's an E.T. Really?
No, but...
That's why I like Coraline. It was a return to a time when we weren't afraid to scare our kids a little bit.
I mean, I definitely think I even wrote up something like months ago about my top 10 directors, and I named Spielberg as the number one. Because, I mean, this guy, if we go down the list and we, like, give him a percentage, I'm sure he'll fall in the 50 to 60% range when it comes to movies I've seen. But you have to say that no matter when it comes to the shitty movies, you can see that his style is there and that as long as you give him a good story, it'll work out.
War of the Worlds. That was a good story, and that definitely didn't work out.
That was a good story.
Did you read the book?
No, I haven't read
then
the book.
Then shut up.
It was in the first movie by George Pal. Sorry.
Hold on, what was that?
I said it was great the first time around when George Pal made it.
Exactly.
Well, I've never even seen that. Okay. I'm probably going to have to look out for that one.
No, like the reason why I will give Spielberg leeway is Schindler's List. I mean, that movie, the first time I saw that, I couldn't believe that, you know, you could have put such imagery, you know, on a television. It was a remarkable experience for me. And, I mean, he's fallen off a whole lot from then. Catch Me If You Can is the exception, as I said. Saving Private Ryan, everybody loves that movie. I mean, there'll be no argument there. But, I mean, as long as at some point he'll, you know, get to those levels, I think people will continue, you know, to give him leeway. The problem that he's having now is that because he demands so much money from these films, is that people don't really want to greenlight them because he's taking so much money off the top that, you know, it's just not financially viable for some of these studios to employ him.
Hang on, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Hello?
Dave?
He'll be right back, Andrew.
Oh, okay.
So let's go on to the next news item. Do we have another news item?
Sorry, gentlemen.
No, that was the end of the news. Unless there's anything you guys heard of that's interesting.
I totally want to add something to this, though.
Okay, what's that?
In spite of all my dogging of Spielberg, the Lincoln Project seems to be a passion project for him, and it's something historical, which he does tend to do, what is it, 5 out of 6 times, or even by my own count.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a lot of it is the economy saying, you know, we don't want to pull the trigger. Why doesn't he pull Mel Gibson and just fund it himself? I'm sure he's got enough money laying around.
Well, didn't he lose quite a bit with Madoff?
Possible.
No, I heard a rumor that he had, like, quite a stash over there.
Stanford runoff with...
Oh, he lost some money with Madoff, yeah.
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 Stanford runoff with some money. So
maybe he doesn't have the money to fund his, you know, Lincoln biopic.
You know, I mean,
I don't know. Even as a naysayer, I would like to see him tackle this. I think he could do a great job with it.
I'm always in line for another Spielberg movie. Because, I mean, as I said, as many shitty movies as he's made good ones. And the good ones outweigh the shitty way by so much. And I just love his directing style. Just like a lot of directors that I like. So, yeah.
I would hope that the directors that you like the style of them, you know?
No, but I mean... Oh, crap. I'm so tired today. The directors, like... When I say the director I like, I mean some... I kind of use that statement oddly because it's mostly... If a director makes a series of films and I like those series of films, but it's not necessarily his style of filmmaking...
So wait, hang on. You're saying that a director can make a series of films that are not in... He wouldn't make a series of films that are in his style or... I'm not sure what you're trying to say. Sorry. Say, come again.
I think you need to back off this point and move on.
It's kind of like if I were to say... But I'm not saying this, okay? If I were to say I like Brett Ratner, right?
Well,
Brett Ratner, I don't think, has any particular style of directing. However, his films are... basic films. Like he gets the script and he says, okay, we're going to put the camera down in the middle of the room and you're going to say these lines, rather than someone like Quentin Tarantino, who will sit down and wave the camera around.
So Andrew, you're saying that you know, everybody has a style, man. Even putting down the camera in the middle of the room, like you just said, is a style.
I don't count that as a style. That's just like doing the job you're given without any form of...
But anyway, right? Let's not get into this argument.
I can clarify for Andrew a little bit. I think I get what you're saying. It's like when you watch a Coen Brothers film. They have a very distinct camera movement. They have a very distinct directing style that you're like, you know, this is a Coen Brothers movie. That kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, so a style that you can easily pick up on is what you're saying, as opposed to being more generic.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, whatever. That's the end of the news. We're going to move into our trailers for the week. And the first trailer that we're going to talk about, and I'll put up in the chat for you guys to see now, is the newest trailer for Transformers 2.
Oh no.
You don't stop, you don't hide, you run. You hear what I'm saying?
We're all going together!
I'm sorry, was that it? Are they not going to help us out with maybe telling us what happens? Or are they just saying, you know, if you want to see big explosions and Transformers, watch transforming machines, watch Transformers? Is that
who
it?
Who makes this movie again?
I know,
Michael
but...
Michael Bay is directing.
It's just so annoying.
It's not Tarantino or Spielberg.
So hold on.
What
so
does Michael Bay do in his movie? He blows shit up. And you go and you watch it, and you smile. And then you go home and your brain kicks back into high gear, and you go, that was done. Right? But he is able to have your brain switch off for long enough to enjoy him blowing shit up on the screen.
No, but I didn't even enjoy that. I didn't enjoy the trailer. I didn't want enjoy the first movie. It was all just bad.
You're a sad man.
I mean, I can watch it now on HBO and be like, okay, that's kind of cool for maybe 10 minutes, but that's it.
So Dave, what do you think of that trailer?
Just for fun, I listened to it without watching the video, and it totally sounds like Cloverfield 2. But, you know, I'm not about to say that Michael Bay is a great filmmaker by a long shot.
No.
At the same time, giant robots, stuff blowing up, people running around, high-speed chases. Could anyone but Michael Bay make these movies?
Thank you.
That's a good question.
I will make this point about the first movie. It is like cinematic cotton candy. It's tasty, you really enjoy it, but there's absolutely zero substance to it at all whatsoever. Sometimes that's just what you're in the mood for.
Yeah, I mean, like, I remember when I went to the first film, I enjoyed the hell out of it when I went to the theater. And then 8 months later, when I watched it on HBO, I was like, yeah, this shit is boring as hell. Because I got to see all the plot holes instead of, like, just being amazed at these wonderful graphics and all of the fight sequences on the huge screen.
You know what, though, Andrew? I liked the CG. The CG was fine, but at the same time, I hated the fact that, you know, he never... No, I don't care about that, actually. No, he never actually did anything other than a CG. I mean, anytime there was a Transformer transforming, it took about 10 minutes. Whether it was the first time there was a transformation or, you know, the 50,000th time. It wasn't about, you know, this situation getting furthered. It was just about, ooh, look at that. It's pretty and shiny.
Yes, and that was awesome to watch on the big screen. Because as we all know from the Verizon commercial, this dude
Michael
is awesome.
Is awesome. He is awesome.
Yeah, but come on, I mean... It's not even like, take for example Armageddon. I loved Armageddon, yet another Michael Bay masterpiece. But
oh, dude.
I think that was sarcasm.
Yeah, it wasn't. I didn't mean it seriously. But no, I do love Armageddon though. I think I love it for the same reasons that you guys are saying you love Transformers, because you know you just kind of switch your mind off. But the story is fun, and there is a little teeny tiny bit of a story in there that works out. But in Transformers, there was nothing.
No, I think the real difference between Armageddon and Transformers, really, other than the size of explosions,
the talent,
right, is the talent in the movie, and the fact that you have people like Bruce Willis and
Megan Fox,
Bruce Willis. I'm about to say Ben Affleck.
Yeah, Affleck was in
Liv
it.
Liv Tyler and Steve Buscemi, who you all
enjoy
for charisma reasons.
There's so many people in that movie.
While in Transformers, the actors are the Transformers, so you don't really get
man.
The whole, you know.
I mean, like, I saw the first one, and I saw it with my friend Nicardo Andrenosi. Yeah. And the second the guy fell from outer space and crashed on Earth and froze to death, there was raucous laughter in the theater because the movie just destroyed its own logic. It flew from the coldness of space, crashed on Earth, a warmer climate, and froze to death. And ever since that point, it was just things blowing up and things transforming, and that's all we wanted. And this one, he has bigger robots and bigger explosions, which, what else can you ask for? Honestly. It's not like The Island, where for most of the movie was talking and nonsense, things that Michael Bay should never, ever, ever do. And then in like the last 20 minutes, he started blowing shit up. This movie, you know, the second you sit down, things are going to blow. And it will continue to blow for 90 minutes until you leave. And you'll enjoy yourself. That I can guarantee. Even you, Douglas.
Alright.
Did anyone even need to see a trailer for this to know that there's going to be more robots and bigger explosions?
No, that's why he promised us.
No, but that's why I was surprised, because you don't need the trailer to do that. You
but
know
you
it's going
to
happen already. So put out something that says
like
something about what happens.
Megan Fox talking. No one wants.
No. You don't need to highlight. You know the riveting performances, because there are none. But at least show. You know what's gonna happen. You know, Optimus Prime is gonna come back and say there's a problem. Then in the middle, you know, show like what happens, as opposed to no, I'm going to blow shit up. That was all that happened in the trailer.
There won't be any story in the movie. You want to show a story in the trailer? How is he going to do that?
And can we
just
note
like put
in
up a video of like one of the old Transformers cartoon episodes? I mean, that's pretty much what we're getting.
Yeah.
And can I note in the trailer, the one time you see Megan Fox, she has her mouth covered, like, not to talk.
Well, didn't he tell her that her only reason for being in this movie was to be hot?
Isn't that what everyone tells her?
Yeah,
except Simon Pegg.
Yeah, and that movie.
Yes.
All right. So based on the trailer, are you seeing the movie?
Yes.
Dave.
Yeah, I will. Uh-huh. I know what to expect, so I'm gonna go in, you know, switch the brain off in that typical Michael Bay fashion, and just go for it.
And since we know Douglas doesn't want to see it anyways, whatever. Alright, moving on to the second trailer of the night. The new theatrical trailer for The Boat That Rocked.
It's 9 o'clock at night and the adult dudes on the planet are sitting in their slippers, sipping their sherries. But the people who love to rock and to roll are listening to Radio Rock, and I'm the Count. And I'm counting on you as we count down to ecstasy.
Radio Rock, the greatest station in the world.
Are you doing something dirty? Are you breaking the rule?
And that was for Erica from Wolverhampton.
Pirate Radio.
I'm proud to announce I will soon be the first person to say the F word on rock and roll radio.
Welcome to the Boat of Love.
They are a sewer of mermaids.
Sure, throwing him in's the best way of getting to learn how to swim.
Absolutely. Yeah, although on second thoughts, it might just be for kids.
Have you ever heard of pirate radio?
Like Radio Rock, sir.
Precisely. The drug takers and the law breakers and the bottom-bashing fornicators of our recently great country.
We're going to shut them down.
Spectacular mistake.
They can't close us down. We're pirates.
Torpedo the ship of shame.
I'm not sure we're in the right place at the right time.
Welcome to our world.
Found anything?
Mainly fish. Ah!
It's like a bowl of honey.
You're trying to get me drunk, are you?
Of course I am.
These are the best days of our lives.
Oh, yeah.
From all over the world, young men and young women will always dream dreams and put those dreams into song. Let's rock!
Ladies, busy day?
Yeah, so I see.
Sorry about that. We kind of got caught up with Waltz with Bashir comments. So that was Rock the Boat, or what
the boat that rocks.
The boat that rocks.
All right, so hold on. I'm gonna ask Dave first. What do you think of that trailer?
Dude, Nick Frost is in it. I'm their day one show one.
Thank you very much.
But you see, the thing is, it's not just Nick Frost. There's also Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And Bill Nye, who is amazing.
And, of course, Steve from Coupling.
But no, you Nick mean Commodore Frost. Norrington?
Yes, Commodore Norrington.
No, he's not Steve from Coupling. We've had this argument before. If you'd like, Commodore Norrington's first name can be Steven, but... He is Commodore Norrington.
No, he's Steve from Coupling.
Thank you, Dave. And hold on. Dave, have you ever seen this British TV show called Coupling?
No, I made the unfortunate mistake of watching one of the US versions and have avoided it like the plague since.
No, you should. No, it's fine. It's crap. Don't watch it. It's awful.
No, you need to go and find the BBC British version where the guy who plays Norrington in Pirates got his start, I think. He played Steve, the lead in the show. This show is just hilarious. I mean, there are four seasons. The fourth season is pretty average, but the first three are awesome.
Okay, so let me give a little bit of context here. Compared to the UK version of The Office, Spaced, what's the other one I'm watching? Or Doctor Who, or anything else? Does this compare to any of that? Extras. Does this compare to any of that in terms of funny? Or
no.
Is it?
First of all, Douglas hates Coupling, so you can't really ask him about it.
And it's probably better than all of the ones.
No, shut up. No,
except Extras.
All right, Damon, you're going to have
Damon,
to stop there.
Damon, you know what? I'm taking the microphone away from you. Because how can you say that, you know, it's better than Spaced?
Or I like it.
Have you watched Spaced?
Yes.
All right, hold on, stop.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. All right, hold on. Like, Spaced, The Office, and Extras, I don't think we can count those as regular sitcoms, right? Coupling, on the other hand, is a really funny regular sitcom where they allow some form of adult content because it's the BBC. So you don't have...
It's not that adult, though.
No, but you see... They're allowed to say certain things that you can't say on NBC, which is why a lot of those comedies get really cheesy and annoying because they have to kiddie up all the language, which I get annoyed with sometimes. But Coupling is an awesome sitcom. So
actually, no, you know what? I'll give you, it's okay. Like, a little bit less than average.
It's hurting Douglas to say that right now.
He has a fork in his thigh.
No, it's very good. You need to watch it.
So Dave, yeah, give Coupling a try if you find it.
I might put it in a Netflix queue. I make no promises, but I might.
I'm going to shout at you every week until you do it.
Wait, what were we talking about originally?
We were talking about the boat that rocked.
Oh, yeah, right.
What do you guys think of that trailer?
Awesome, we'll watch.
did this remind anyone else of The Commitments? I don't know if you guys have seen that.
I haven't watched it. I got the DVD, and I'm so, like, I just haven't put it in the player yet. Because ever since I saw once, and then I found out that Glenn Hansen was in The Commitments, I just had to buy it.
It's an interesting film.
Is it as good or worse than or better than Once?
Totally different. It Once is a very unique creature. I don't think we're going to see another film like that in the mainstream for a long time, if ever. Commitments is it's really hard to describe. It's a very fun movie about a bunch of Irish kids trying to make a soul band, essentially. And it's fun.
Oh, okay. But anyways, I think we can all agree The Boat That Rocked, you gotta go out and see it. That movie looks awesome.
Right. And so I guess we're on to our next trailer, which is Funny People. The latest Judd Apatow flick.
Yeah, the next Judd Apatow flick starring Adam Sandler, Funny People.
I like having a girlfriend. I don't have one, but I like it better. One night stands are tough, and I'm not great at sex, so at the end of every time, I gotta look at them and go, hey, normally I do better than that. Girlfriends are so much better, you know, you finish up and you're just like, well, you know. That's how I do it.
Hey, George Simmons, you destroyed, man.
You the guy who was on after me?
It's very hard to be romantic with women when you live on a pull-out couch. Once those two little legs come down, you know it's on, right?
I enjoyed your set. You were good.
Maybe you can write me some jokes.
I've been going to this guy's movie since the moment I can remember. This is amazing, guys.
If he's like, do you have any friends that are like you but just way funnier and more talented, you can say yes.
I'm going to tell you something, and I don't want you to get all weird on me. I'm dying.
It's too early to know who's winning the fight, the medicine or the disease.
Did anybody ever tell you you have a very scary accent?
You are a very funny man. I enjoy your movies.
And I enjoy all of your movies.
Which movies?
The ones where you try to kill Bruce Willis.
Oh my God, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Are you crying right now?
I don't think I am.
Now you're gonna start with the noises? Oh,
come on,
wipe it off. People are gonna think I broke up with you.
Did you tell your mom?
Yes, I sent her an email and she tried to email me back on a toaster.
There is always the one girl out there that got away.
This is my husband, Clark.
The one that got away. Guys have that and serial killers have that.
You'll beat this disease, mate. Have you considered Eastern medicine?
Clark speaks fluent Chinese.
Baba booyow.
Baba booyow.
Baba booyow. Baba booyow.
How's it going from Deer Hunter?
Hey, you want to talk to me while I try to fall asleep? So you're right, that's not your real name. You're hiding some Judaism.
I don't think I can hide that. My face is circumcised.
I don't want to get your hopes up, but we may have beaten this thing.
The doctor said I'm not sick anymore.
Yes!
All right, go ahead.
What was that like, having one foot in the door?
I'm feeling like I'm in the moment for the first time in my life.
Every time I see your face,
I have to save her.
Save her from her beautiful house, the laughing kids, and lovely husband.
You think this guy's a good guy?
Is something going on here?
No! Nothing's going on around here.
Don't mock me. I don't appreciate it.
Lots of people go to massage parlors.
I explained all that.
That doesn't mean I was getting a rub and tug.
What accent is that?
Oi! I think he caught a glimpse of something that most people don't get to see.
Her husband?
He's gonna kill us. He's from Australia. They just kill things there.
Don't hurt him.
His job is not at all what I thought it was gonna be.
Get in a ball, George. Ball up.
Fight like a man, would ya?
I don't know how to fight. I'm a comedian.
When my grandfather died, there was one candle next to his bed, and the candle started flickering. We all thought it was him going to heaven, you know.
You don't pass through fire to get to heaven. I think he went to hell.
Yeah, and that was the trailer for Funny People. I mean, what do you guys think, Damien?
Where's the real movie? I heard about this movie a while ago, and when I saw the talent that was going to be involved, was expecting something a lot different. This looks like another typical Sandler movie, just with more Apatow people thrown in. I don't know. I expected something a lot different. Maybe it will be, you know, it will turn out, you know, fantastic. But right now, it's just looking like a different version, a better version of Click. It feels like that movie. It feels like Click. Except there's a different hook. Instead of having a remote, you know, he is a stand-up comedian that, you know, that is dying. I don't know. It doesn't feel like the movie that was supposed to be made.
Well, that's interesting. Dave, what do you think of that trailer?
If you're going to make a Click thing, I think instead of the clicker, he has cancer.
So you're in agreement with Damien on the whole Click...
No. I've not been a big fan of Apatow's last few movies that he's written, but this actually intrigues me, and I'm not a Seth Rogen fan by a long shot. And again, it intrigues me, so that, you know, I may not be a big fan, but I'm also not going to lie and say, well, I don't like him just because I don't like him. This looks interesting. This looks like it could be on the level of something closer like Punch Drunk Love than anything else.
Oh, isn't that a wonderful movie?
It's interesting.
Whoa, I'm afraid to ask more of that comment, but Like, anything Paul Thomas Anderson does is awesome.
Well, I don't know if I'd say that, but maybe. But yeah, I am kind of down that same alley with this trailer. I think it looks interesting. I will watch it, but clearly they're holding some punches. They aren't showing you everything, which is a good thing about the trailer. And it's not that funny in the trailer. So that
is that necessarily a bad thing, though?
No, it's not a bad thing. It's just, as you say, interesting that a movie called Funny People isn't really that funny in the trailer.
Well, I mean, this movie was on my top 10 movies I'm looking forward to of 2009. And I guess I'm afraid, but I have to use the same word you guys have been using. It's an interesting trailer, but at the same time, I don't think it's a good trailer, right? I think the whole reason that that I'm disappointed in it is that I didn't think the movie would be about cancer. Right, I thought it would just be about stand-up comedians and Judd Apatow's ridiculousness, which I would have loved, and I'm sure I'm gonna love
and
this
I
movie
hated
anyways.
That.
And I'm sure I'm gonna love this movie anyways, but like, it's just vastly different from what I was expecting.
You guys have seen the Fanboys trailer, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thought that Funny People would have been something towards that end, you know, where it's just all of ridiculousness and laughter for the entire movie. You know the Fanboys movie is going to be funny because you were laughing all through the trailer. This movie, it doesn't look for a movie named Funny People. Honestly, I deserve better. I deserve a better trailer. I deserve a better movie.
But at the same time, you don't want a trailer that spells out the entire movie. I mean, this is Judd Apatow. You know we're going to get some extremely wrong cancer jokes out of this movie, right?
Yeah. Oh, and can we just say, Damon was pointing this out to me earlier. Is there a Judd Apatow movie in which his wife and children won't be cast?
Well, his children weren't in the Virgin movie, were they?
I can't remember.
I know his wife was. Yeah. She almost screwed the Virgin. But yeah. But I don't think his kids were.
Probably somewhere.
Yeah,
I think she's hilarious though. I think she's hilarious though. The wife.
She's funny in those movies because he writes her that way. That doesn't mean she's a funny lady.
I wonder if like whenever he goes to a studio asking for them to make this let him make this movie, he also writes at the bottom of the page, "Wife and children must be."
Probably the same thing with Kate Winslet and her nude clause. Similar type of concept.
Like, do you think, like, could we tack this up to the financial crisis that he needs all four like, employed all at once?
You know, with how much money his movies have grossed, whether he wrote, directed, or produced it, I think he's doing okay.
Okay, well, that's the end of the trailer segment.
Is it really already?
Yeah.
Like, we don't have any more trailers.
No, no more trailers.
None?
Unless you guys want to talk about Beth Cooper, which...
No, I will not talk about that. We actually weren't going to have funny people in this thing. He wanted Beth Cooper, and both me and Damon, we had to veto it. Have you seen that, by the way, Dave?
No.
Oh, don't.
Yeah, I told... like, as he was about to watch him, I told him to go and watch Funny People instead. But is there anything, like, any trailers you saw this week that you'd like to talk about that's not on the list?
There's one that came out, actually I saw it last weekend when I saw Coraline, was there's a trailer for 9, which looks really interesting. I don't know if you guys
Nine,
have seen that trailer
or
not.
Stop, or CGI stop animation type thing? Yeah.
Now it's entirely possible I'm all about it because they used Coheed and Cambria in the trailer, but
Cambria.
It's just
You're
it's
a
like
big
a
Coheed
really
and Cambria fan?
I'm becoming one.
Okay.
Don't know who you're talking about.
They're a band. I think they're close to like Tool, right? Aren't they the same type of thing? Or no?
Kind of. They're a very unique band. It's one of the things that's drawn me into them a little bit is just the fact that if you look at all their studio albums, it essentially tells one giant story, which is kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. I never got into them just because my friend that loved both... Well, I shouldn't call him a friend. Somebody I knew that loved both... them and Tool I did not like very much, so it kind of turned me off of them, which
Fair
maybe
enough.
I shouldn't have done, so I'll probably go check them out.
Whoever's honking is agreeing with me, by the way.
Oh, of course. Yes.
That's outside. We have my window is open and that's traffic outside.
Right, so Andrew, it looks like he's looking for an Up trailer. What are you looking for?
No, Damien was asking me to go to this website, Dave's trailer page.
To see if there was anything that I saw this week that was worth mentioning.
Oh, and is there anything worth mentioning? No, yes, it was kind of a slow week, wasn't it?
Okay.
Hmm.
Alright, so this
week, look at a Watchmen trailer again.
I hope they release it out here on the day.
Yes, that would be marvelous.
And I hope to win the lotto that I don't play, but none of these things are going to happen. Andrew, we live in Jamaica. You know it's not going to come out on the day.
Leave me alone. Let me hope.
When did the Dark Knight come out again?
2 weeks late.
And we had to pay twice the price, didn't we? Yes. To watch it 2 weeks late.
Anyways, right? This week we're gonna discuss Spike Lee and our thoughts on him and his filmography. I guess we can just start with Dave. Do you have any thoughts on Spike Lee that you'd like to share?
Oh, you know, you can't. It's kind of hard to talk about Spike Lee just in thoughts. He's definitely one of the most unique voices that we have in filmmaking today. I don't think there's any way that you can really dispute that. I guess it's to put it nicely, he's not afraid to talk about race relations.
Not afraid at all.
One thing I appreciate about him overall, now I haven't seen a whole lot of his films, but I have seen enough to kind of get this idea, is that he's not afraid to look at both sides of the issue either, for the most part.
I'm not sure about that entirely, but yeah.
Well, and I'm talking specifically about Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, actually, only first saw that last night in preparation for tonight's show. So actually, I agree with that one in terms of Do the Right Thing. He did actually look at both, well, it's not both sides, but more sides than one.
Do the Right Thing is my favorite film by Spike Lee. But like, what are your favorites or movies that you like from him, or like the movies you hate other than the one we're going to talk about later?
I absolutely adore The 25th Hour.
Oh yes, good, isn't it?
Because, well, and here's the thing, it's Spike Lee telling a story that's not about the race side, the racial issues that exist in America. And
but
he's
still,
it's
kinda
like the first time that he really proved himself to be an amazing filmmaker who can tell a story well.
Yeah, I mean, there are a handful of films he's done which wasn't directly about race, and they went around a story, kind of like 25th Hour. There was also The Inside Man.
Yeah, there was The Inside Man. You could argue maybe Malcolm X, because that was more story driven. However,
the story was about the race.
I know.
The stories I could tell you about behind the scenes on Malcolm X.
Ooh,
yeah.
Come
please,
on,
please do.
Okay. Crap, I have to go find the audio at some point, but you guys have seen Malcolm X, right?
Yeah,
actually I own it.
Hold on, Damien.
A couple years ago, I actually got to interview, or Barry and I got to interview Kate Vernon, who played his wife.
Okay.
And we'll just say she had a very different experience from the African-American cast members. They were filming in Harlem, and everyone else got, you know, big, burly bodyguards, and she got like high school kids. And Spike Lee never said more than two words to her, and she said she's not sure if it was because she was trying to, you know, kind of make the character more real to her, or if it was because he had some issue with her. But she said it was very difficult shoot for her.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, I've never really looked to behind the scenes stuff to most Spike Lee films.
Are you trying to say that Spike Lee is racist?
No, I would never say that about somebody because I don't know him, and
would
that would be
and
completely
say,
unfair and
racist.
Not right.
I know. Andrew, you know, and I know. Douglas knows. Spike Lee is racist. He might not be able to say it. He might want to say it. Of course, he's racist.
All right. The thing that like
see these movies.
I think as we've said already, he has a lot of issues with race, and I don't want to call him a blatant racist, but at the same time, there's one event. We're all a bit racist, but I mean, there's a difference between being a bit racist and being like out to the wall, getting for the fences racism, you know? And there's one incident we can talk about, which is related to the review we're going to talk about, is that he made a comment last year to Clint Eastwood about his war films that he made the year previous, which was Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima. And
yes,
he was talking about how the fact that there were no black characters in those films. Like, he was like, black people were in the war too, which is why he ended up making Miracle at St. Anna. And he went out, and I think he said, this means Clint Eastwood is racist or something to that effect.
Right.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe he did.
Who was that
in? And I mean, it's kind of like pointing four fingers back at yourself while you're pointing one out. I mean, this guy, every one of his movies are all racially driven. 90% of them are 100% about race. Like, he forgets about the story and just decides to comment on how blacks are treated. Which...
Now look, we can't get into the movie review this quick.
No, I'm just talking about his movies in general. Right? So, like, how less racist is it to not have black characters in your film about World War II rather than just talk about black people every day?
Although, to be... I mean, I think what may have happened was that he got an early screening of Gran Torino and realized that Clint Eastwood was actually racist.
What, without realizing that Clint Eastwood was acting at the time?
I mean, that movie, my word.
Don't say anything, I still haven't watched it.
No, it's pretty racist. That won't be giving anything away. He's racist.
I love that movie, though.
I love it too, oh my word. But, I mean... Spike Lee, people can say what they want about, you know, who is racist and whatever, but the truth of the matter is Spike Lee doesn't know. He was just saying things, you know, so that he could get publicity for his new movie. He would have said anything to get publicity for that movie, because that movie is bad. Right? He wasn't going to get any good publicity, that's for sure. No one was going to come out and say, oh, it's a timeless classic and one of Spike Lee's best.
Wait, which movie are we talking about again?
Miracle.
Miracle. Oh, have we actually gotten into Miracle?
No,
we're
not. No, we're not.
Oh, okay.
So that was just, you know, to drum up controversy so that he could get, you know, people, you know, to talk about Miracle for a couple of days. I don't think it had anything to do really with Clint Eastwood. He was just an easy target at the time.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, if it's that, then that's just him being an idiot.
You know what it is, though? I have heard him say similar things about other people. For example, I mean, Andrew jokes about this all the time, saying, oh, you've met Spike Lee, haven't you? I saw him speak at my school once. And he said pretty much the same exact thing about... Jeez, what was the movie? It was a very long war movie with Jude Law and Renee Zellweger.
Behind the Gates.
Which one? No, not Enemy at the Gates. It was the Cold Mountain. Cold Mountain, yeah. Yeah, so he said something very similar about how, you know, there were no blacks in the movie, therefore, whatever.
Director is racist.
Yeah.
Racist.
And he just doesn't... Whenever he speaks, he just does not come off as a nice guy, I have to say. He's always combative and aggressive with whatever he's talking about, which I guess makes him a character and is... It plays into it's what Spike Lee does. It's who he is, and it's what makes him a good director. He is a good director, but you know.
We're laughing because in the chat room, Ethan Vespi is saying, and I quote, "It's not too late to digitally insert black people."
Well, hey, listen, Spielberg did it with the walkie-talkies. Why can't we do it with a couple black people?
Oh, way to bring it back, sir. if I could chime in really quick, I think part of the reason why Spike Lee concentrates so much on racial relations is because it's not very well represented in American cinema today.
Yeah.
And he has a very, you know, as an African-American man, he has a unique perspective that I'm never going to get. Just like the way that Tony Kaye, when he made American History X, well, he's not a neo-Nazi, he's going to be able to make that film from a perspective that Spike Lee could probably never even look at.
Yeah, I agree with that, but at the same time, does he have to make, let me get the count, 47 films all about race?
Yes.
And you know what's annoying too, actually?
I mean, his entire filmography as a director is 47 films, but I'm sure not all of them are about race.
No, they're not, but you know what? Yeah, you know, you know what it is, though? I have to say that even in the movies that are not about race, for example, 25th Hour, which actually, I agree with you, Dave, I love it, I own it, it's wonderful. And,
Inside
Man, thank you very much. He still inserts it somewhere. In Inside Man, there was a video game. In 25th Hour, there was that very long monologue.
The
that,
fuck
you, know,
you monologue.
In, yes, in every one of his movies. So, you know, it's just kind of like, I get the point, dude. If you want to make a story movie, just make the story movie and then go make, you know, the extremely do the right thing type one.
The problem that
Well, at the same time, does Kevin Smith need to keep making movies about dick jokes and boobs?
But at least he places his dick jokes and boobs in context, in the context that he's created in the new story.
Wow.
Oh, that's a pretty weak argument, but we're moving. I mean, I have problems with Spike Lee, and it's not to do with him being racist. The problem that I have is that his stories, Spike Lee is able to paint a picture. He can bring you into a setting. He knows how to do that. The problem is that when it gets down to the story portions for most of these movies, it just falls apart for me, because I can't relate to any of the people that he's putting on screen. I've never been in their situation. So, I mean, most of his movies, Crooklyn, especially Crooklyn, he knows how to represent Brooklyn. He knows how to, you know, paint black people in a certain light. But there's just some disconnect once he's trying to tell the story. Because there's no one that I really connect to in most of his stories. And because
is it also fair to say that pretty much when Spike Lee talks about race relations, he's pretty much preaching to the choir? When you think about the audience that's going to go out and seek out Spike Lee movies?
Yeah. Essentially.
my favorite Spike Lee movie is not really a movie. It's a documentary that he did about...
When the Levees Broke?
When the Levees Broke.
I love that documentary.
Right. And I think that's where Spike Lee needs to move towards. Because he's not really telling a story. He's just painting a picture. And he can do that very well. He knows, you know, how to put things in a way where where everyone can understand. And my second favorite movie from him, also not a movie, The Kings of Comedy. Oh my word. Have you seen it?
He did see it.
He
did Kings of Comedy?
Yeah, he was the one.
Oh yeah,
I'm not
whoa.
Liking it that much.
I know,
I mean,
Bernie Mac,
we've got Bernie Mac, who is not funny. Bernie Mac is not funny. Then we've got D.L. Hughley, who is less funny than Bernie Mac.
Yeah, right. I'm taking the mic.
Douglas is no longer part of this conversation. Right. Kings of Comedy is awesome. Very, very awesome.
Stop dragging the mic.
It's his fault. He did it first.
I mean, there's other movies here that I can respect Spike Lee as their director, because his movies are, you know, they're topical. Yes, it's one topic. Alright, I saw Malcolm X. We saw that at school, and
they did play it at school.
No, even before.
I saw it before that.
Days, they showed us, and you heard about Malcolm X, but you didn't know who he was. So, you know. I saw that movie when I was young, and I was really, I really loved the movie then, but subsequent viewings I've liked it a lot less. Even some of the ones that people considered classics, like Crooklyn, really not a big fan of those movies. There's just, like, it's really just Inside Man, and the movies that I love, Inside Man, 25th Hour, and then it's When the Levees Broke, and the comedy, Kings of Comedy.
Yeah,
those
and it
are
sounds
my
like
four.
It sounds like what it is that you're not liking these movies because probably you can't relate to the people. And I actually had that problem last night. I was watching Clockers, and I thought to myself, I really didn't like the movie. But then I realized it's not that I didn't like the movie. The movie was good, but and the story that was portrayed was great. But I just didn't relate to it, and it was so real, the story that he put forward, that it didn't even feel like a movie per se. It was more like a documentary, in that this is what's happening. And so I just couldn't relate to what was going on, and I think maybe I have to bump it up in my, you know, head.
No, but it's a better movie, but you know.
The problem that I have is that we all love The Wire, right?
Yeah.
The Wire deals with a lot of these same kind of issues, but they wrap it in something that's more relatable. You can see where these characters are coming from. You can kind of understand what they're going through. Spike Lee's characters, though, I mean, some of these guys, you just never seen anybody like these people. They're one of a kind people that only exist in Spike Lee's head. Alright, so I mean, it's just the movies are well made. There's no doubt that he knows what he's doing. It's not that he's a bad director. It's just that I don't find myself being engaged by a lot of these movies.
Oh, and can I say one thing before? It looks like I'm just trying to stop us or do something. But I have to say that in Clockers, it was the first time I'd ever seen Delroy Lindo actually do a good job in terms of acting.
You didn't like him in,
no.
Like...
Whatever.
Dang.
Gone in 60 Seconds?
No.
Or The One?
Oh, sorry, I forgot about The One. So, the second time.
I didn't know. No.
I'm just joking. Come on.
No, we don't even joke about things like The One. Jay Lee owes me money.
When it comes to Spike Lee, I have to agree with you, Damien. He does know how to paint a picture more than he knows how to tell a story. And my favorite films by him are stuff like Do the Right Thing. I love Mo Better Blues. I love Clockers. I love Inside Man, which is more of a story. I love He Got Game. And I also love Girl 6. Right? And today I saw a movie by him for the first time, Bamboozled. You ever seen that one? That movie was tough to swallow. most of his films are rough because you have to deal with the racial factor. And I thought Do the Right Thing was the worst he could have gone.
Oh, no. I knew already from the get-go. I still haven't seen that movie, but I knew that's what it was about. It was basically a black man being, you know,
I knew it was about that, but... You know, but I didn't think it would go that far.
The first time I saw that movie was on a local station, CVM.
Whoa.
So they edited a lot of it, and there was a lot of commercial break. And I remember during the commercials, I was just like everyone else left the living room. Like, I was the only person. Like, it started out, everybody was sitting down. I was watching it. And like halfway through, everyone had left. I was the only one sitting there. That movie... A movie is grim. There's no joy to get out of that movie. Oh my, I don't know. Spike Lee, I mean, I have to like him though. He's an Arsenal fan. And beyond that.
He's an Arsenal fan?
Yes, he's an Arsenal fan. And
but he's also a Knicks fan though, so maybe that might tell you what kind of person is an Arsenal fan.
No,
so
he's devoted to...
Two
know,
losing sides.
Well, no. I mean, you can't.
Yeah,
really
not like
him.
Chelsea.
let's curb the football humor for this week. I mean,
hey, I'm third now. Okay.
Let's curb the football humor because we all know who's first. But I mean, like, once we get past his racial issues, we can. Like for movies like 25th Hour and
wait,
and
sorry,
Inside
but he doesn't even get past it in the 25th Hour.
He gets past it enough to tell us
a story.
He
waddles around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no getting past.
We can tell that he's he's a very highly rated director. He was on my top 10 directors of all time.
So was Spielberg.
Because, I mean, his style is so noticeable. Like, no, there's no way you can walk into a movie that you've never seen before and it being a Spike Lee movie without you knowing it's a Spike Lee
film.
Yeah,
basically whenever you look at it and there's somebody walking without walking and the camera isn't moving, that's him.
I think we need to hear from Dave though.
Alright, one thing I notice in Spike Lee films he loves to do is he loves to have these long monologues. Most of the time it's about the race issue. Sometimes it isn't as much. Like, out of all the Spike Lee films, do you have any, like, favorite quotes, monologues, or anything? Dave?
Not really. And that's going to suck, because I know you're ready for me to throw out some good one-liners, but I got nothing. I hate to say it.
I have a dream.
You know, I love 25th Hour in its entirety. And that's why I liked it. You know, even, you know, when you talk about movies that are hard to take, Do the Right Thing. When it hit the end of that movie...
Oh, yeah. Can I tell you, for the last
probably
half
the most powerful, the most powerful part was when they kept going between the different cultural people, whatever, the different races of people, throwing out every single racial slur they have for everyone else. That was like getting punched in the gut, because you were sitting there and you have to take that and you have to hear it.
I don't know. I have to say that in Do the Right Thing, I wasn't as taken aback by that as I was by what happened with, you know, the shop in the end. That I thought was just
trying not to spoil it as much as possible.
But for the last maybe half an hour of the movie, I had just a face of disgust, like, just with what was going on, the situation that was occurring.
But the scene that I'm talking about also sets that up very well, too, because it really sets up the racial tension that there is in New York, and I firmly believe there's in New York, because I haven't been to New York, so I'm not going to say that it isn't the case.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, other than Ithaca, I haven't really been to New York either.
True, I've been there for like a couple of day trips, so. But either way, you have to live there and live not in the...
The tourist
section. You'd have to live
kind
down
of like Jamaica.
And I think another thing to add on to this, I don't know about you, Dave, right? But like, as Jamaicans, we don't.
I'm not Jamaican.
As people who
don't lump me in with your kind.
we don't really. You guys are just horrible, horrible people. One day someone is going to email in and ask us why we're laughing all the while and all of this shit.
Yes, I'm sure this is not entertaining at all. Us just laughing about, you know, all of
our little inner jokes.
But
yeah, I mean, we don't really get the huge racial factor that they get in New York, or especially when it comes to blacks. I mean, Jamaica is 99% black, so like, what they're really going to do, hate on themselves?
Well, we do a lot of that.
We've got, you know, some other people.
Yeah, Jamaicans, we're pretty understanding of
race.
Tolerant. Let me not say understanding.
when it comes to race,
we're more tolerant of other races than
and on top of
most
which
places that I've heard of. We really don't make it that big an issue.
Just as long
part.
As you're not, you know, gay. Then
yeah, but that's not a race.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. We're only talking about race here.
We make a point of we're really homophobic. Everybody should know that. But I mean, in terms of race, really, really more understanding than most other places that I've heard of or been to. So I mean, the picture that Spike Lee paints a lot of times, I mean,
think that's a big issue with me. I can't relate to it because I've never
really
experienced that kind of mass hatred.
No, but then at the same time, like movies about slavery, we've all seen those, and you know we understand. We've never been slaves.
Yeah.
Let's make this clear.
Right, just in case people are worried, slavery ended about 2 years ago. We really don't. Yeah. But
you saw Bamboozle, didn't you?
I mean, we can relate to the struggle that people were going through, being slaves. Because your brain can facilitate that. Your brain can say, well, if I was property to somebody, you can understand those. But a lot of the things that happen in Spike Lee's movies, my brain just can't understand. You know, the picture that he's trying to paint. There's just something that's not connecting with me, and maybe it's because we're Jamaican. That I'm just going to use that as this.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a viable excuse. But what I was really getting around to was the fact that at how better these movies are at pointing out racial problems than a film that came out last year, which people kind of liked, was Lakeview Terrace.
Like, why did people like it?
The racial factor.
Sorry?
People thought it was a good representation of
racial
tension. Did they actually watch the movie?
Have you
Give
seen
me their
film,
names
Dave?
And addresses, Andrew.
Have you seen that film, Dave?
No. I after hearing about it, I'm all about a movie that takes racial relations seriously, but you know, as in, hey, we have a conflict and let's actually try to work this out, as opposed to, hey, let's escalate this to the point where we're both going to kill each other. Which I don't know if that happens in the movie or not, so I have no idea if it's a spoiler or not. I'm just not interested in that.
All right, that's what so it breaks down to. Like, are there any Spike Lee films you could, that you particularly don't like, other than the obvious choice right now?
You know, I haven't watched many Spike Lee movies. I grew up in L.A., so this is where all this stems from. I know enough that if I can't connect with something, I don't want to try to judge it. And I had enough of an issue with some of his other films, especially, you know, really Do the Right Thing, really kind of, it was an amazing movie, I can appreciate it, I can say it's a good movie, I can recommend it to people. I can't relate to that.
Yeah.
What about
and so
Malcolm
that's kind
X?
Of, you know,
like, what
kept
do you
me
think
away
of
from
Malcolm
it.
X?
Pardon?
What do you think of Malcolm X?
I actually haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
I know. I've got like 120 movies in my Netflix queue, so I'm always expanding what I've seen.
No, that's cool, yeah. But as we said, that's a movie we had to watch in school.
Well, I didn't, but I saw it anyway.
A movie that people love that I actually don't like that much from Spike Lee was Jungle Fever.
Love it. I love that movie.
I think it has to do with the fact that Wesley Snipes was the lead.
Stop hating on Wesley Snipes.
Wait, do you like Wesley Snipes?
Blade.
What about Blade?
What
about Blade?
I love Blade.
What do you mean you love Blade?
First one,
and then the
first and second one was awesome. I love those movies.
The second one was shit.
As well as the last four movies he made, which went straight to video.
Del Toro
made
a bad movie.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You're wrong.
Listen to me. Benicio del Toro. Benicio. Jesus Christ. Guillermo del Toro is not as good as
I've
people
done the same thing.
You
don't
are
feel
wrong.
Bad.
You go to hell for saying that.
I'll give him Pan's Labyrinth. I haven't watched that one yet. Okay.
Oh yeah, you're the one that hates Hellboy.
Hellboy is shit. It's awful.
Taking the mic away again.
Both of them are bad.
Honestly, stop dragging the microphones. Alright, getting away from Guillermo del Toro talk.
Right, Jungle Fever was I love that movie. What didn't you like about the movie, Andrew? I don't understand.
Like, alright. I haven't
apart
watched
from
it
from the racism, yes.
I haven't watched it since I first saw it like 5 years ago. But when I saw it, all I can remember is sitting there and being like unaffected by it at all. Like, while I'm affected immensely by films like Bamboozled and Do the Right Thing, Jungle Fever was like nothing to me. And since, as we said, most Spike Lee films don't have that much of a story, they're more like a scenario you're watching, it was like what to me? I mean, and hating Wesley Snipes and Halle Berry was wasted as a first time role.
Wait, hang on. Was wasted? Why do you say wasted?
No.
As if, you know, there's something to waste. No, she looks good. I will watch a movie with her in it because
Swordfish.
She's hot. Exactly. I would watch Swordfish because she's hot. But she's not a
and she shouldn't have gotten that Oscar.
Yeah.
I don't know about it. That
and
performance.
One thing I definitely liked about Jungle Fever was Sam Jackson. Sam Jackson was amazing in that film.
But he's played that character in every single movie that he's ever done. Ever.
Hence why I keep going to the theater. So, I mean, like, what can we say in the end about Spike Lee? Like, he's more of a painter than a storyteller.
Like, we all hate Tyler Perry here. Sorry for bringing him up.
Oh, and Madea came out to jail is out. Madea goes to jail is out here. While
is it?
Yeah, again, sorry for bringing up Tyler Perry. But Tyler Perry has an embedded audience. People who like Tyler Perry likes all of his movies. And Spike Lee is just a
far better version of Tyler Perry.
Why are we comparing Tyler Perry with Spike Lee, by the way?
Because
he's black?
No, because Spike Lee has an embedded audience. People who love Spike Lee will watch any Spike Lee movie. I have a friend that loves all Spike Lee movies. Every lot, like, he'll go and see what he likes. Miracle at St. I brought him to that movie to prove that Spike Lee could make bad movies. And he came out and went, no.
Oh, you mean like our friend that we are movie geeks, who tweeted that movie was awesome, and he doesn't know why people are hating on
it. I don't know what. I love that movie. So I mean, there's people who like Spike Lee, will like, you know, the subject matter that he deals with, because he doesn't stray, as we can see from all of these movies. He doesn't stray that much in, you know, the movies that he makes. And I mean, we know he's a good director. That's really not up for debate. It's just, you know, the movies that he makes, we don't really see, like, there's something that we're not connecting to. We don't really empathize with a lot of the characters, and, you know, so I appreciate the movies that he makes. I'm not a fan. I don't love a lot of them, but I definitely don't hate. Let me look. Let me just see if there's anything here. I don't hate any of the movies that he's made so far. He is going to make a Michael Jordan documentary, which, you know, we know he loves basketball, and Jordan destroyed the Knicks year. So I'd love to see this documentary.
That's hilarious. I'm sure he'll skip over those games.
Oh, no.
He'll be like, they never went to New York. That game never happened. Anyways, so, like, any closing comments at all, Dave, about Spike Lee?
Honestly, what comments I have left, I'll save for a movie review.
Okay. And all right, let's just jump into that review.
Any closing comments?
You're not important.
What?
All right, do you have any closing comments to this?
Of course I do.
They're bottomless? Are they bottomless?
Like hippopotamus?
Is that what you're saying? No.
Oh, I've just recently been falling in love all over again with Flight of the Conchords.
Yes, sir.
Whatever.
But no, I really don't have much else to say about closing. I think he's a top-class director. Just from watching the last couple of movies last night, I appreciate him much more. He's much less of a joke to me now. He was a huge joke to me before. I'm sorry, I have to say.
I'm happy I finally got you to watch Do the Right Thing. So we're going to be reviewing his newest film, Miracle at St. Anna, and here's the trailer for those of you who don't know what the hell this is about.
Do you
have to send stamp, please? You. Tim Boyer, Daily News. You're clean as a board of health. You got no debts, no enemies, 4 years in service.
Look at this, a Purple Heart. What the hell is this?
This thing ain't normal. $5 million. That's so much that statue had withdrawn in the black market. What's it doing buried there on the bottom of your closet?
We are Italians.
You got a boy that needs help. I don't know how the hell we got past German lines, but we're surrounded.
You ain't got to be scared. Feel that magic.
All you got to do is believe in it.
They are afraid. 3 years we've been waiting.
We'll find a way out of here. We'll get you home.
I'm the only one left who knows.
Alright, so that was the trailer for Miracle at St. Anna. And let's just get into it. Dave, what did you think about this film?
God, this movie sucked.
Tell us what you really
think. It meanders like crazy. I mean, is there a story that... Did they actually tell a story in this movie? Because I really don't remember. My brain turned off about halfway through this thing.
All I can remember is seeing your Twitter last night as I was starting the movie that you had gotten 45 minutes in and you had to stop and go to... And, like, watch it tomorrow. Watch it today.
Yeah, I had to watch... I had to play some Seen It and some Gears of War. I had to take breaks doing that today. I watched the Wonder Woman animated movie coming up in between breaks. I pretty much put off watching this movie as much as I possibly could. Because I just couldn't have cared less about this stupid movie.
Yeah,
I'm trying not to hold back at all. to get to my final comments about Spike Lee, one thing that he does very often is he does get the race thing going. But here's the thing: I didn't learn about race relations from Spike Lee. I learned from race relations from my grandfather, who was one of the most racist mofos I've ever met in my entire life.
Okay, sir.
And I learned that you... Pardon?
Okay. No, just keep going.
Yeah.
Just...
And learning that... Fortunately, my parents, you know, weren't of that mindset at all whatsoever. So I'd be like, Mommy, why is Grandpa like that? And, you know, it ended up being he's just a very angry person. I don't... I understand that back in World War II, back in the day, even in some parts of today... There are race issues. People aren't treated equally. I ain't them. And I wish at some point someone would say, hey, you know what? We know that there's good people out there too. And that's the one thing that I think if Spike Lee did that, I think it would earn him a lot more of a pass in the reviewing press and in the mainstream media.
Which is why I like Do the Right Thing that much, because it actually gives you a more rounded scenario where not only is there a good person from the white society, which is the owner of the pizzeria, and even his son, not John Turturro, the other one, I don't know his name, but there's also bad influences in the black society, right? While
absolutely, and you also get that in Miracle at St. Anna too.
You mean the bad part, right?
Oh yeah, yes. No, you know who he's talking about? He's talking about
Bishop.
Not Puff Daddy's rival.
Yeah, Bishop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Puff Daddy was the...
I'm like, do I really
guy.
Need to see Thug Life back in the... Really, did we have soldiers back... Did anyone back in World War II who went into the war actually have gold teeth? That's just my question.
Hey, but here is one question that I think is really weird. Like, as I was saying earlier, he made the comments to Clint Eastwood's war films, and he was saying that black people took part in the war, and we were... good, and we did this. Was this really the story to tell to show that black people were good in the war?
Yes.
They caught.
I think Stamps was the great example of it.
Him and.
But beyond that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I have to say, I did not enjoy this movie at all either. I mean, it's a movie that includes characters like a simple chocolate giant who believes that a stone head gives him the strength of five men and makes him invisible. There was, as you say, Dave, there was the Thug Life Tupac Shakur wannabe. It just... Most of the movie made no sense at all at no point in time.
And that really is the film's biggest crime. I you know what? I'm not African-American. I don't know anything about it, so when I see something up on the screen, I'm willing to accept a lot of it.
Yeah.
But when the story just sucks, and seriously, the story meanders. Could this movie not have been at least an hour shorter?
I know, especially, for example, why was Leguizamo in this movie? What did he have to do?
He's Spike's friend. He's a good friend, you know.
No, but that scene that lasted maybe, let's say, what, 2.5, maybe 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Played no part in any of the story or the plot or pushing anything forward.
It was the huge segue to the ending with the statue.
No, what it was that it was coming back to the future and then back to the past. It made no sense. And, I can't describe how pained I was when I watched this, because I was trying so hard to understand what was going on. I mean,
exactly.
I can accept, you know, that there's this character that's kind of simple, that you kind of want to empathize with, that he's trying to push on you, which is fine. But then do something with it. Say something. Have some sort of story going. Don't just be like, yeah, there's this guy, and there's this
He's
kid.
A variation on Simple Jack, for crying out loud.
Thank you.
Oh, you know, I'm going to break this for a second. You know, I love it every time Dave comes on the podcast, because then I get Ethan to listen and in the chat, and he's just said something that just made me have to break out in laughter.
What's that?
I quote, "I think Kirk Lazarus' deception of Sergeant Osiris shows us the importance of black soldiers in the war." And this is going back to Tropic Thunder with Robert Downey Jr.
Dang.
Ethan, we love you.
But seriously, though,
to get back briefly to Spike Lee's comments about Clint Eastwood, uh-huh. I agree that, you know what, Clint Eastwood would probably not be the man to write black characters into a movie. Spike Lee, of all the filmmakers working today, should be that man. He just should have picked a better story and something that actually resembled a story.
Yeah, I have to say one thing, though. Like, for the first 15-20 minutes when it was in the present, like, before he killed the guy at the postal office, I don't think that's much of a spoiler.
No, you know that even in the trailer.
Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, I kind of enjoyed those moments in the film. It just made me think, okay, this is gonna be another awesome looking Spike Lee film. And then as soon as they hit the war, they went to the past, and we had a huge monologue, which I thought was kind of nice. More Spike Lee stuff I like. And then as soon as the first black character in the war spoke, the movie started to go off horribly. So you have like maybe 20-25 minutes worth of good film until we get to crap.
Yeah, but not even that, Andrew. You'd have thought that...
I wouldn't even go there.
What's that, Dave?
I wouldn't even say that much. The beginning and especially the end were so tacked on. It's like, let's make up an excuse to try to make this movie and make this story. And I just, that was just unforgivable as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if you just do it to make an excuse... And this is the man who called Slumdog Millionaire my favorite movie of the year. That had one of the greatest, you know, plot devices of all time. But if you can't make it feel organic, don't even bother putting it in the movie.
Yeah.
That ending pissed me off.
Oh, yes. It just was right out of left field. But,
It's like in The Man Who Wasn't There, when Billy Bob Thornton has the fantasy about getting sucked out by aliens out of the prison. That's what the ending was like to me. What the hell?
Yeah. It was pretty awful.
You've been pretty quiet, Damien. What do you think about this film?
I really don't want to talk about this movie.
Damien is having bad thoughts.
I mean, when I saw it, actually paid money, paid for a friend, and another person came along with us. The guy I was telling you that loves all Spike Lee films, he enjoyed the movie.
Is this one released
yet? I had to, yeah.
What was that? I don't remember.
I had to fight sleep for the two and a half hours?
Yeah, basically two and a half hours.
And then I had to go to work right after that. So it wasn't a pleasant experience. And then I watched it recently so that I could, you know, have it fresh in my memory, which was also a bad idea.
You watched this twice?
Yeah. Oh my word. I mean, this movie.
Dude, you deserve a Purple Heart for getting through this twice.
I like Spike Lee, but this movie, it's this movie is bad. This movie is really
I watched
bad.
I watched the first half of this like on Thursday night, and we got delayed. Douglas and I got delayed watching it, and then we had to stop noticing that if we watched the whole of it, we would finish at like 3 in the morning. And because we had to wake up at 8 o'clock the next morning, we were like, no, we'll stop and try another time. And I didn't bother to skip to the 30-minute point. I just started over last night when I watched it, and oh my goodness.
I agree that the beginning portion of the movie was tacked on in the grand scheme of the movie, because it was 2 hours of this war, atrocious story, and it was, you know, there was the prefix was the, you know, in the present and him shooting the guy at the post office, but that was the only part of the movie that, you know, that made any kind of sense. Spike was painting this picture of, you know, what would drive a man to shoot another guy in a post office for no real reason, right? And then you thought he was going to, you know, take you back and tell you this story of, you know, what they had to go through and why even years later this guy would still be willing to go to prison. But you didn't get any of that. It was just 2 hours of complete nonsense.
Yeah, and I have to say that I thought that the whole 2 hours in the war had almost no bearing whatsoever on the first 25 minutes that was, you know, in the post office or the wherever it was.
You seriously could have told that in about a half hour, 45 minutes at most.
Yeah, and most of the scenes, like I was saying before, just you didn't need at all. You didn't need Leguizamo at all. You didn't need, you know...
I forgot he was even in this.
Yeah, he was in it having sex with his
Italian
new
girlfriend.
You know, that was it. And then a newspaper falls out of his window. That was really necessary. I needed that in the movie.
Why did we need to see soldiers walking? There was a lot of this movie where it was just them walking from point to point. How was that necessary? How else would they have gotten there? Would they have teleported? Did you think we needed to see them physically walk from place to place? And
I don't know.
He
apparently had to feel the need to show that Nazis were bad. So.
Oh yeah.
Hold on. What was that, Dave? I didn't hear you.
I said he felt the need to have to show Nazis are bad.
Like, we didn't know
is there anyone who
already
actually thinks they're good who are going to have their mind changed by anybody?
Thanks, Spike.
I can't wait till Tarantino shows me how Nazis are bad.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Tarantino is going to make you think that Nazis were probably good. Tarantino is going to... you just know that movie. You know? Tarantino won't paint a pretty picture of anybody in that movie.
So we're not going into spoilers on this, right?
No, we're not going to go into huge spoilers, but
there's
thing
nothing to spoil. The movie's bad.
So what, are you saying, Damien, that once we give it a certain stamp that we're allowed to spoil anything
because
it's bad
no
and
one
nobody
should
watch it anyway?
Movie anyway?
So what do you
just
think,
spoil
Andrew?
It for them.
No,
so
I agree.
They don't have to
I agree.
It.
No one should really watch
let's
this movie, but let's,
it for them
no,
so
let's,
that they don't
let's,
have
let's
to
leave
it
so that those out there can suffer like how I had to.
No, that is what is wrong. That is why we're in financial crisis.
Nobody shares sound advice
right,
anymore.
Need to help people. I sat through this movie twice. You can spoil whatever.
One thing that I'd like to say though is, like as I said, the first 20 to 25 minutes before we hit the war, I actually didn't mind as much. I thought it was average. Right? And then when we hit the war, it got to crap. But then when the character Train, I think his name is.
Train, that's a simple white chocolate.
Yeah.
I mean, chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I started to believe that this movie could be a good comedy. Because I couldn't stop laughing at this
one
guy.
One tap for yes, two taps for no.
That thing?
Yeah, and the child calling him a chocolate giant and wondering why he didn't taste like chocolate.
Yes!
Like, I couldn't stop laughing for a long time.
I was not amused by it.
Especially since it was Spike Lee.
Exactly.
Who put
so
that in the movie.
It was heavy-handed and unnecessary. Even if that did happen, we did need to see that in the movie. Honestly, Spike. That was... Like, you need to tone it down. What is he making next? Inside Man 2?
Yeah, he's doing a sequel to Inside Man, as well as...
He needs to stay far away from Reese for a while.
IMDb has him doing some
well,
TV stuff. Yeah?
I'm not going to go into spoilers, but I will say, do we really need to make a 2 hour and 45 minute movie that ends with a giant joke about the American criminal justice system?
Oh, jeez.
That's what pissed me off to no end.
That's what. So it's not the 2 hours and 40 minutes till it got to that point. That didn't piss you off. It's the end.
Ah, okay.
No. It just kept building and building. When I got past that 45 minutes, I actually had to watch Office Space to kind of, you know, detox a little bit.
I don't know about you, but I wasn't really a big fan of Office Space when I saw it.
Office Space is
awesome. We're off topic. Let's just get back.
I'm trying to not...
So we can end this conversation.
All right.
Not only do you not want to watch it again, you don't even want to talk about it, Andrew. Is that it?
Basically. Let's just end this right here. So we can all agree no one should ever watch Miracle at St. Anna. If you want to watch a World War II movie... Stop bitching and complaining. Go and watch Flags of Our Fathers. Go and watch...
Letters from Iwo Jima. Don't watch Flags.
Band of Brothers.
You only have to watch one. Band of Brothers. Letters from Iwo Jima.
Saving Private Ryan. My favorite of all of them.
That's if you have, you know, a high tolerance for gore. Because... He didn't tone that down at all.
Andrew, ask me about what I was going to say about Saving Private Ryan after we finish recording.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so don't watch Miracle at St. Anna. It's a big pile of shit. But generally, I have to say Spike Lee's a good director. And you should look out for whatever he's doing.
Yeah, and honestly, even though I think the story was crap, you could look at most of the camera work and the direction and say, you know what, this was proper work that he did, but... I don't know what the hell he was thinking when he chose his story.
And I mean...
Let me pose one last question.
Hold on, what were you saying, Dave?
Let me pose one last question.
Sure.
Sometimes you can say, you know, this is an awful movie, but there's a good movie in there somewhere. Does anyone actually believe there's a good movie anywhere in here?
No.
Yes, the first 20 minutes.
I tried to think so for maybe an hour and a half, but I'm not sure.
If they kept the first 20 minutes and then changed the rest of the movie... Interesting.
As I said, the war story was worthless. Don't watch this, but Spike Lee generally good.
Watch Gran Torino instead. You want to see real race relations.
When it comes to war heroes.
Yes, when it comes to war heroes. And Dirty Harry. Gran Torino.
So that's really it. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about this week?
Maybe.
Okay, we'll leave that for off air then. That was the Unnamed Movie Podcast, and this is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
Are you just going to sit there quiet, Damien? Just going to piss you off?
Damien has lost his voice.
And thanks, Dave, for joining us.
He doesn't even pleasure. Want to be associated with us anymore. We're talking about a bad Spike Lee movie.
And I apologize for somehow making you feel obligated to watch this piece of shit.
There will be no apologies.
You can find Screen Geeks podcast with Dave at screengeeks.com, right?
Yes.
You can follow me.
Follow us on Twitter, Screen Geeks, Dexter Douglas is me, Stuntman Josh is Josh over there, and Ethan Vez is Ethan. So, yeah, most of us are on Twitter, too.
Yeah, you can find all the episodes for the Unnamed Movie Podcast at gmanreviews.com. And you can follow my Twitter at twitter.com/gmanreviews.
And I am DGR, lost his name, at Twitter.
Are you going to make a joke this week, Damien, or are you going to leave it
alone? We're moving right now. I'm too tired.
If you want to get in contact with us, you can email us at unnamed@gmanreviews.com. We broadcast every Saturday night at 8 p.m. on Ustream. Check us out. And we're now on iTunes, so you can you can subscribe on iTunes.
You're welcome.
thank you, Douglas. except the name right now is G-Man Reviews, so you have to search for G-Man Reviews to find it on iTunes. I'm going to change the PHP file so it says the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
Can we change it to the Goodest Podcast?
This week, we are the Goodest Podcast, and we hope that this podcast is a tribute... to the greatest podcast that we've ever made, which was episode 5.
Seriously, no, I don't how think did so. We get Penelope Cruz on the podcast?
Really?
What happened?
And to see the things that she did, oh boy.
Thanks for listening, and that's it. Hold on,